Hello, welcome to the Goalkeepers Union podcast Between the Sticks. Me, Matt Beadle, here with the well-travelled voice of goalkeeping, Richard Lee.
Indeed, I've racked up some miles this week, Matthew.
Go on.
Yeah, had a bit of a nightmare on Tuesday night. So Tuesday, Stoke, of course, played against Cardiff a couple of weeks ago. One of the goalkeepers I worked with, very good goalkeeper, Dylan Phillips. He asked if he could get back to London because he had something going on the Wednesday. At the time, I knew that I had a couple of meetings in Manchester. I was hopeful of getting to the game itself. So I said, absolutely, Dylan, no problem whatsoever. Of course, on the morning of the game, I had my meetings in Manchester cancelled. I realised I couldn't go to the game because it's in tier three, of course, so no tickets available for that one. So yeah, I ended up driving all the way to Stoke to pick Dylan up and bring him home.
The new Richard Lee taxi service.
Indeed, 6 hours in a car, fantastic. But you know, I've obviously made a commitment, so I wanted to stick to that commitment.
So you essentially made the journey just to pick up Dylan Phillips and bring him back home?
Yeah, I'm essentially a taxi service.
So what did you do? You couldn't go to the game. You couldn't get into the ground. So did you just sit in your car?
No, there's some people I do know in Stoke and there's an office there. So thankfully I was able to go and set up in the office, get a little bit of work done, watch the game on Sky Sports itself. So I did actually still get to see the game in Stoke, just not in the stadium. So then as soon as the game finished, I just went around the corner, picked him up and took him home. So I kind of made the most of the day. But yeah, the moment the meetings were cancelled, I just knew that obviously I still had to go because I'd made that commitment and he was relying on me. So you do what you do.
Is Dylan Phillips aware of the sacrifice that you made? You haven't told him this story?
No, absolutely not, because it looks ridiculous. It looks ridiculous. I've driven all the way to Stoke, essentially to pick him up and bring him back to London.
Well, there you go, Dylan, if you're listening, and I'm sure that you are. You are now aware of the sacrifice that Richard Lee made just to bring you home. You're just a good friend, mate, a good Samaritan.
This is what we do, Matthew. Anything for goalkeepers.
Anything for goalkeepers. We are going to be talking some Champions League action as per, some Championship action as well. But before we do that, bit of correspondence, Richard.
Absolutely.
We've had a tweet in from Dan Cohen in response to the discussion regarding Manuel Neuer. Last time out, we spoke about Karl-Heinz Rummenigge's comments on Manuel Neuer being the best goalkeeper of all time. Dan says the argument for Neuer being the best ever is interesting. The question I'd ask is, how would he do in another era? Take Casillas or De Gea as an example. 15 years ago in the Premier League, they'd get annihilated. Take Peter Schmeichel now. Could he thrive in the modern style? Neuer is one of very few that I think could play in any country in any era. However, I don't think he's the best ever, but probably the most adaptable ever. I'd take prime Schmeichel, prime Buffon and prime Casillas ahead of him.
Wow, I love that. That's a great tweet. And it's a great point. You actually look at the legends of years gone by, and it's a great question. You know, one of the people I was so fortunate to work with was Peter Benetti. And of course, Peter, for those that ever met him, he was he 5'9", 5'10"? Like, just wouldn't survive in today's game. But of course, he was known as the Cat back then. Fantastic goalkeeper, but for that time. And it's spot on. You know, you look at some of the goalkeepers that have thrived during a certain period of time, but you know they would only have survived during that certain period of time. I take myself, for example. You know, I'm 6 foot on a good day. Like, I probably wouldn't make it in today's game, given that kicking was never a big strength of mine. For me, I relied on my athleticism. I don't think that takes me that far in today's game. I think I was fortunate in some way to have played when I did, and so many different things needed to align in order for me to get to where I got to. And then certain things that didn't align, which arguably meant you don't quite get that little bit higher. But I think that's a great point about Manuel Neuer, in that the style of goalkeeper he is, I'd have to agree with that. He's got so many different attributes to his game that he is consistent in any era.
Yep, nice one, Rich. And thanks for that, Dan Cohen. And thanks to those who continued to submit content for us to comment on. Really helpful, really appreciated. Keep the feedback coming, keep the emails coming, keep the tweets coming. We've had plenty on David De Gea, which we shall be getting onto in a minute. So thank you for those. Sadly, we can't read them all out, but don't let that deter you. I'm trying to keep tabs on those we have mentioned and those who we haven't. So hopefully in due course, we will get round everyone. As always, if you'd like to get in touch, very easy to do so on Twitter at GK Union. Hello at goalkeepersunion.net. Before we commence the show, Richard, I also have an apology to make.
You do indeed.
We spoke in the last podcast about goalkeepers from Cumbria, and I said there's one more and I can't think who it is. I mentioned Scott Carson. I mentioned Dean Henderson. I even mentioned Tony Cage. I said there is another one. I can't think of it. It's James Trafford.
Of course.
The Manchester City goalkeeper, James Trafford, or Traff, as I like to call him. But yes, I didn't mention him. So apologies, James.
Yes, absolutely. Well, it's good to see that you're owning up to your mistakes and the apology. I don't know if he's going to accept it, knowing James as we do, and he is a fan of the show. Hope he doesn't accept it, for what it's worth. And James, do let us know your thoughts. If that wasn't good enough, then I'm sure that Matthew can go further, and I'd like to push him further if possible.
Good goalkeeper, though, James Trafford. And actually, not from Cleator Moor, from a splendidly named place called Cockermouth.
Sounds delightful. Delightful.
He's also James Trafford. He is a Manchester City goalkeeper. He's been in matchday squads this season. We spoke about you being verified a couple of months ago. 751 followers on Twitter, James Trafford. If you like goalkeepers, get out there and follow the lad at James Trafford 6 on Twitter. Give him a follow. He's a Manchester City goalkeeper. It's amazing. Just 751.
It's crazy. England goalkeeper as well. Very highly rated. I'm sure that will soon escalate.
Yeah, sure that it will. Right, Richard, on with the show. Okay, Richard, Champions League this week. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think that one, Manchester United might have gone out of the Champions League. And I think two, maybe David De Gea might have been at fault for one of the goals. I don't know. I've just been looking at Twitter the past couple of days, and I think that possibly something might have happened with David De Gea. What do you say?
Well, Matthew, I think you may be correct. Right, where do I start with this one? I mean, we always try to give really objective views and try not to buy into certain narratives and maybe follow the common trend, you know, and to look at things in isolation, not worry about maybe the reputation or what the press is saying about a certain goalkeeper at a certain time and try and look at moments in isolation. Unfortunately, I can't defend this one at all. And the reason being is that I think there's certain prerequisites to being a top goalkeeper. And one of them for me is bravery. I think if you want to be a top goalkeeper in any age, we had that great tweet from Dan Cohen. What I would say, any age, doesn't matter what type of goalkeeper, what style you have. For me, one of the absolute musts is that you're brave. Brave in your decision making, but brave in putting your body on the line. And this, for me, I talk a lot about at point of impact. If you see him at point of impact, where he's gone in with his feet, with his head turned the other way, couldn't be further away from the ball with his head, it's just so disappointing to see.
Well, this is quite rare that you are taking this stance. We are, of course, talking about the third goal in Manchester United's defeat in Leipzig during the week. Justin Kluivert nipped in onto a loose ball, really, that had been swung into the box. It had taken a small deflection and David De Gea wasn't able to gather it. This went crazy over social media, as you would expect. Paul Scholes speaking quite loudly as well in the studio. We'll get onto his comments in a minute. I'm going to read out some of the tweets that we've had in from people and then come to you on the moment itself and get your analysis as to actually what happened. Billy Gordon says, poor communication between goalkeeper and centre half and then weak from De Gea, needs to clean the boy out. Andy Hashtag says, there is so much wrong there before the ball gets anywhere near De Gea. Pogba and McTominay both drawn to the ball and Nkunku runs off the back and draws Lindelof out of position. Maguire then has to cover, leaving Kluivert open as Williams doesn't recognise the danger. He does say, listen, De Gea does hesitate. Should he smother or should he block? Ross Graham says 100% he almost turned his back on it. If he is brave, he makes the save. Jamie Cotton said, weak as bleep, I'm afraid. Tom Peters says, mate, can you imagine Schmeichel watching that? Martin, I totally agree. Goalkeepers need to be brave. It should be a natural instinct to throw yourself at it. My boy is 12 and naturally dives at their feet. Anything to prevent the goal. Put him on the pitch and he turns his back in a tackle. Ian Buck says the centre forward should have been thinking, if I get to that, it's probably my last kick of the game and I'll need to celebrate from the stretcher. David De Gea never had presence or been feared and never will. And Joseph Smith says, should have come out and gotten this ball quicker. Poor decision making and we paid the price for it.
Yeah, well, look, I think, you know, some interesting tweets there. Again, thank you for all those that do send us your messages. I guess just to reiterate my point, I think that David De Gea does love that long barrier. And in fairness to him, when he makes the decision correctly and gets within a couple of yards and creates that barrier, he's made a lot of saves over the years doing it. One thing we don't see a lot of, and I'm saying this, and again, do correct me if I'm wrong, is that 50-50 when you smother. You know, you've been on a lot of calls with me where we spoke to young goalkeepers and we give a lot of advice on one-on-ones. And I talk about the three decisions that you've got, which is if it's too far away, effectively you're set for a shot. If you can get to within a couple of yards, you may be able to do a long barrier or create a shape that's big enough stuff in order to make it difficult to score. Or, of course, the best situation is you can meet them 50-50 and you can crunch them and you can take the ball and ideally hold on to the ball. And that's always going to be the best situation if they take a bad touch or if you feel it's there. For me, and I've always got to be careful because he's effectively pulled the long barrier or tried to when the ball was there to be smothered. Like, surely he must have in that moment seen it and thought, I can get this. But his initial reaction is to go with the long barrier, is to turn his head, and it looks so, so poor. And obviously with the situation being what it is, with Dean Henderson breathing down his neck, you can't help but feel that Dean Henderson will be knocking on the door the next day. You know, I would certainly, for any goalkeepers I work with, and again, I say this with the greatest of respect for David De Gea, with what he's done, what he's achieved, who he is. You know, who am I to be talking about a goalkeeper of this nature? Because he is one of the world's best and has been one of the world's best. But moments like this, this is the kind of moment that will infuriate fans. This is one of the things that, as mentioned, when you're a kid, you're taught to go in and crunch the player if the ball's there in order to be won. And it was, and he didn't do it. And I can't help but feel he might pay a bigger price on the back of this.
Well, it has infuriated fans and ex-players alike. I mentioned Paul Scholes. He bottles it. He said he actually makes himself smaller for such an experienced goalkeeper. It's criminal, said Scholes. Now, Scholes has obviously played with David De Gea as well, so he's talking about an ex-teammate. A couple of things I thought about when watching this was, firstly, is this a managerial error? David De Gea obviously picked up that injury against Southampton, came back in against PSG, was back out again against West Ham and had come back in for this game against Leipzig. Was that him not wanting to worsen the injury that we believe he might have, should Dean Henderson have been in from the outset? And two, just seeing David De Gea in that stance with that goal, it occurred to me that very rarely do you ever see David De Gea doing a classic spread. Again, we mentioned Peter Schmeichel, if we just use that as an example, that type of spread, or diving at a player's feet. It's not something that we've really seen David De Gea do too much of, mainly because I guess he manufactures his game in a certain way that he doesn't need to do that. But on this occasion, that's what it called for.
No, you're right. You know, I mentioned it earlier, and like I said earlier, do call me out if I'm wrong on that, because I can't think of one. I can't think of that moment. And you use Peter Schmeichel, you use Kasper Schmeichel, another good example. Joe Hart, the goalkeepers that sometimes they do it too much. Edison, we've argued lately that maybe there's been an incident or two where he comes out too far and looks to engage. But actually having that mentality of, and most goalkeepers, and I'm saying this, but I'm saying this from a personal point of view, and I think a lot of you guys listening in will have this as well. It's so funny when you think of goalkeeping logically, a lot of the things we do don't make sense. The ball's there and you are throwing your face in. You are diving to that ball because all you can think of in that moment is, I'm keeping it out of the net. And I'm saying this from someone who's broke his cheek, broke his eye in doing it. So don't get me wrong, it's ridiculous what you do at times in order to keep it out of the net. But I do believe you need to have that mentality of, thou shalt not pass. And in this moment, he doesn't have it. Now, granted, it's an awkward ball. I will say that. Taking a little deflection, as you say, it wasn't a great ball in. And the only question I'd have is whether he doesn't know what technique to use. Because I'm saying you need to go in and kind of smother it. But because of the angle the ball's coming in, does he go down to his right? Does he go down to his left? Does he just dive forward to the ball? In the end, as I mentioned, he loves to produce this shape. And as you say, he loves to produce this shape. But this wasn't the shape to use in this particular situation. Look, I'm sure it's something that he will analyse, whether he'll change his game enough and start to work on maybe adding that into his game. Maybe he has become over-reliant on producing the long barrier, making certain saves with his feet. There is an argument for that. But look, certainly in this situation, if he has this opportunity again, of all the different options that he's got in this moment, for me, he's chosen by far the worst option.
Before we move on, just to allude to the fact that Victor Lindelof gave the ball away inside his own box with a terrible pass. And we actually had a tweet, Andy Hashtag of course alluded to it. A great tweet from @SlatsMachine says, the goal came straight after Bruno hit the bar at the other end. You'll need an abacus to count the unforced errors from that point.
No, absolutely. And I think that, and by the way, Andy Hashtag, spot on. Absolutely spot on. And this is where my belief is that when they get back to the studio, the outfield players should be criticising that. Because essentially, yeah, horrendous. The ball even getting to that point, of course, there's three or four mistakes that they could touch on. And that's for them to do. And I think this is the point in that we want to critique goalkeepers, positively and negatively. Look, this isn't a positive section right now about David De Gea, but hopefully we're doing it in such a way where we're breaking down what he's done and why he's done it. I'm always careful to comment on the outfield players because, yeah, I can see it, you can see it, but I'm not an expert. That's where the Paul Scholes of this world and the McManamans and the Glenn Hoddles and whoever else, that's when they can comment on that side of things. And then I think, look, in fairness, the analysis they've given on David De Gea, I'm not disagreeing with a lot of what they've said. But certainly from my point of view, I'm always reluctant to comment on the outfield players. But Andy, hashtag, you're absolutely right, of course. And to be honest, that's the same with 99% of goals. They could have been stopped before they get to the goalkeeper. Of course they could. But of course, we are going to just continue to focus on the goalkeeping.
Rounding up the rest of the action in the Champions League, Richard, Gigi Buffon, a clean sheet in the Nou Camp, still going strong, the old boy.
Indeed. I did see a few pictures on Instagram. He's in good nick as well, isn't he, at his age? Unbelievable.
Great save in that game from Marc-Andre Ter Stegen. And the reason I want to touch on this is because he dived to his right. Brilliant save to deny Aaron Ramsey. It ended up as a penalty and a goal was scored as a result. Now, we saw something in the game between Chelsea and Leeds last week where Ilan Meslier made a really good save and the resultant corner ended up in a goal. We saw it again yesterday in the game between Rotherham and Watford. Jamal Blackman made a brilliant save, goes to a corner. They score from the resultant corner. How annoying is that for a goalkeeper when you make a great save and then the next passage of play, the goal goes in?
Yeah, one of the most annoying things that you can experience. I think ultimately, whenever you make a great save, you're always hopeful you get a result. Because we all know, you make that fantastic save in a 5-0 defeat, no one cares. You make that great save and you draw a win, people then reflect on that save afterwards. You don't know how important that save is until the end of the game. So when they score in the next corner, it almost, to an extent, makes that save null and void, according to many of the managers, many of the fans, etc. But again, that's where we try and highlight the individual actions.
And speaking of individual actions, a guy that we mentioned last week, Anatoly Trubin, the Shakhtar Donetsk goalkeeper, a clean sheet against Inter, which actually put Inter to the bottom of the group, meaning Shakhtar go through to the Europa League. Extraordinary situation, this one. He made a brilliant save from a Lukaku header, a flick on from a Brozovic free kick, and then a good save from an Eriksen shot at the end. Not the most spectacular save, but better because he was actually injured at the time.
Yeah, and again, it's almost a theme of the show, isn't it? Bravery. But this was one where he's come out, good punch amongst bodies, brave decision to come, brave with the action. And you can see he's gone down on the floor and he's hurting, but he's managed to pick himself up. And there's a great shot that we saw from behind the strike. And you can see that he's in pain, he's grimacing. But in that moment, going back to the point we made earlier, all that was in his mind is, I'm keeping the ball out of the net. And for me, again, that made this fantastic goalkeeping. The save itself was reasonably routine. A tip over the bar, someone of his size, it was very comfortable. But it could have been very easy for him to stay down in that moment. If he stays down, does he get the free kick? Probably not. Do they get the goal? Absolutely.
Okay, and a couple more. Kepa back in for Chelsea. Remember him? Yeah, there he goes. Plays against Krasnodar. It's amazing, isn't it? Edouard Mendy just takes all the headlines now. People just, it's incredible that a £72 million goalkeeper has just sat on the bench. It's just remarkable, really, but that's a topic for another day and one we've discussed at length already. We're going to finish with a good and a bad. First, the bad. Jesper Hansen, not particularly his fault, the Midtjylland goalkeeper, but a horrible goal. Just another one of those goals. We spoke last week, didn't we, about those two bobbled headers in the games at Plymouth and Crewe. This one was not the same in terms of it being a header, but just a horrible goal to concede from Mo Salah.
Disgusting. Disgusting goal. To the point that he didn't actually really celebrate because it was just such a horrible, ugly, disgusting. Didn't even mean it. Kind of hit his toe. Again, we look at the goalkeeper. We look at what could he have done differently. And do you know what I'd say is, it is a really difficult one, this one, because he's dribbling through. It is effectively a one-on-one. There is the defender next to Salah as they're coming through. So ordinarily, going back to what we touched on earlier, it's a shot until they get close enough, at which point you potentially do a long barrier. Or if they get too close, you can then come and smother. It was more the fact that it's an inadvertent touch from Salah that takes the ball in. In the end, he doesn't really do anything. And I always say, at point of impact, what was his shape? It was nothing. He was almost running towards the ball. I mean, what could he have done differently? Maybe stayed a tiny bit deeper just for another second. Or possibly, similar to what we're saying with De Gea, could he have come out and made himself a bit bigger or tried to smother? You know, in the end, he doesn't really do a great deal. But I'd be reluctant to put blame on the goalkeeper here just because it is one of those ugly, ugly situations.
Yes, and finishing with the good, like we said, Swiss stopper Jan Sommer yet again creeps into between the sticks. Borussia Mönchengladbach did lose in Madrid, but yet again this guy put on another very good performance quite a few good saves in this one, notably one from Tony Cruz up to his right and the other one from a Sergio Ramos header to his left. Brilliant save.
Yeah, both very good. For me, he's technically very sound. Plays with a certain swagger, I would say. He's certainly got... he's a stylish goalkeeper, let's say that. I make myself sound so old sometimes. But he is a stylish goalkeeper when I look at him. I like watching him play. Good save up to his right, as you mentioned. I think the technique he used with the lower hand, so to speak, but I thought that was the correct technique in that situation. Move well, made the save look reasonably comfortable. And the save to the left, yeah, very, very good. Powerful, explosive. What helped him was the fact that as he's moving slightly to his left to get set, the weight naturally will be on his left foot. So the header then goes to the top left-hand corner. There is a tiny bit of momentum there already, and he utilizes that momentum in order to explode off his left foot, top left hand, good firm hand into a good area. It's just a really good looking save.
He's in a funny realm for me as a goalkeeper, Jan Sommer, a Swiss international as well, and has been at Borussia Mönchengladbach for a few years now. Was rumoured to be maybe heading to the Premier League at one point. I remember Everton showed some interest, but he's never going to be in that pantheon of top goalkeepers. You've got your top ends, right? So you've got your Manuel Neuer, Edison, Alisson, maybe David De Gea, who knows, Marc-Andre Ter Stegen, Keylor Navas, you'd probably put into that as well. And then you've got your rung below. I kind of feel like he's at the top of the rung below. Must be difficult as well. I mean, I don't know, I'm speaking out of turn here, but for your mindset thinking, I'm probably never ever going to take it to that next level because there's just too many goalkeepers in front of me.
Yeah, we need to do, we've said this before, we should do a goalkeeper league table. I'll be really interested, actually, if we ever did that, and we'd probably put this out to you guys and see what you think, if we were to list sort of 20, 25 goalkeepers and have it as a running league table. I know we've mentioned doing something like this before, because I think that you get, you know, we talk about form, some goalkeepers that are bang in form and they kind of gradually climb that table, but at what point do you then enter that realm? What is it that suddenly makes us think that an Oblak, a Neuer, a Ter Stegen, a Alisson, Edison, you know, what is it? Is it when they win trophies? What is it that puts them into that particular realm? At what point, because we're watching them all the time and we're complimenting their saves, we're complimenting their performances, but at what point do we suddenly then have this group? Because it seems like everybody has the same group, by the way. We all say Oblak, we all say Ter Stegen.
We all say isn't it, Ellison, Addison? It like rolls off the
rolls
tongue,
off
doesn't
the
it?
Tongue. Do you know what? And it was De Gea. And all of a sudden now De Gea, I think, has fallen out. At what point did he fall out? You know, it is really, for me, it's fascinating because I think consistency is obviously a big thing. And if you are winning trophies and you are consistently playing at the top, if you're consistently playing for a Bayern Munich, for example, Manuel Neuer, he's been doing it for so long now. Of course, at some point, he just enters that realm, providing he is consistent and he keeps making big saves like he does and shows the all-round game that he's got. Naturally, I guess you're going to get there at some point. So is it simply that, the team that you play for? And if you play for that team long enough and you are consistent for long enough, that essentially you will just join that band at some point? I don't know. Keen to hear your thoughts.
Or is it just hype? Is it hype around certain goalkeepers? Can we start a campaign now on the Goalkeepers Union podcast to build hype? Let's pick any goalkeeper and start building the hype, putting the media out there, getting all our listeners to talk about that goalkeeper, and then he gets a £50 million move and we've been responsible for it.
Which goalkeeper do we choose?
I tell you what.
Which goalkeeper do we choose? Who do we mention most on this podcast?
Yeah, we've mentioned many, haven't we? Let's put this out to the listeners. And actually, we do have a forum now on Patreon as well. There is a platform where you can discuss and start topics, almost a bit like a Reddit type forum. So yeah, let's think of a goalkeeper and see if we can just, I don't know, put him out there a bit more.
Absolutely, I'm in.
Richard, please.
Yes, it is that time. It is the Championship rundown. Lots of games again. In fact, there's games every midweek at the moment, which is meaning that we can just continue this Championship rundown every single show we do, every Monday, Thursday. So today's Championship rundown. On the Tuesday night, we had Coventry drawing 0-0 with Luton. The first clean sheets for James Shea and Ben Wilson since coming into the side. Huddersfield beating Sheffield Wednesday 2-0. A clean sheet for Ben Hamer. We like to mention Ben Hamer a lot because he's one of our patrons, which does that mean that we're slightly biased towards him? We've got to be careful of that.
We do have to be careful.
I think this is very strategic from Ben. Very clever. I see what you've done. He did have a funny moment at the end, actually. Made a very good save last minute to protect that clean sheet. Gave it the classic one where he gets up, moans to the linesman. The histrionics that come with it. I enjoy that. I did a similar thing myself. Make a save. My one was to get up and shout all the defenders around you, kind of to make the point that I've just kept you guys in it. So good work, Ben Hamer. Millwall drawing with QPR, one goal apiece. Stoke going down 2-1 to Cardiff. And I watched this one. As mentioned, I was in Stoke, but I watched it from an office in Stoke and not actually at the Britannia. But Stoke, first half, were the better team. Interesting for me that both goalkeepers were very solid in this one without necessarily having a great deal to do. That being said, Stoke took the lead. No chance, Alex Smithies. I think Alex Smithies made an excellent save onto the bar, but it wasn't picked up by anybody, essentially. But then he did make a crucial penalty save at 1-0. It wasn't a great penalty, but it was well read to his right. Good save. And that was the catalyst, because at that point, Cardiff had done absolutely nothing in the game. And then from that moment, they did kick on, got the two goals. No chance for Joe Bursic. But one of those games, really. Not many chances, but Cardiff with an excellent victory. And Alex Smithies, what proved to be a vital penalty save. Swansea 0, Bournemouth 0. Big clean sheet for Freddie Woodman, it has to be said, because it was against the league's second highest scorers in Bournemouth. And yet another clean sheet for Asmir Begovic, who continues his good form. Watford 2, Rotherham 0. Brilliant save from Ben Foster to his left-hand side. Another clean sheet for Ben Foster. And as we said, a good performance here from Jamal Blackman. We've mentioned a couple of times, or a couple of games recently, where things haven't gone his way. But he was excellent in this one, and nothing he could do about the two goals here. Moving on to Wednesday. Preston with a big win, 3 goals against Middlesbrough. I can't imagine many teams are going to get 3 goals against Bettinelli this season, but a nice clean sheet there for Declan Rudd. Barnsley beating Wickham 2-1. A good save from Walton in this one to help protect the lead. Brentford 0, Derby 0. Great clean sheet for Marshall, although there wasn't a single shot on target for either team here. And of course, a clean sheet for David Raya as well. Bristol City 1, Blackburn 0. Again, another game that I watched live on Sky. Two good performances here from the goalkeepers. Dan Bentley making a good spread save. A bit awkward in the second half, but again, a vital save in the end. And Kaminski, a good performance. I'm liking what I see of him. Haven't seen loads of him so far, but looked very assured. Didn't have a great deal to do, but what he did very well. Norwich beating Nottingham Forest 2-1. McGovern keeping his place. Krull still out injured. Brees Samba making several excellent saves, but he will be a little bit disappointed with the goal that beat him from close range down to his right. Technically, as he's gone down, hasn't been able to get his body behind it. And rather than going down with his hands pointing down, it almost looked like he was almost doing a W technique. It's a very odd way in which he collapsed. I mean, in fairness, it was very, very close in. Was a difficult one to deal with, but certainly one that he'll be a little bit disappointed with. Similar to the last game, he had a disappointing moment too. So the first real test, I think, for Brees Samba, who it has to be said was excellent last season. And finally, Reading losing 2-1 to Birmingham. Penalty save here for Neil Etheridge. Birmingham going down to 10 men as well. An excellent victory away at Reading.
Excellent stuff, as always, Richard. I'm just going to pick you up on one thing.
Go on.
You did call it the Britannia. We've got to be careful.
Oh, it's Bet365.
It is the Bet365.
Of course it is, Matthew.
But hey, nitpicking.
Indeed.
Nitpicking, Richard. Indeed. Good to see Alex Smithies back to his penalty-saving best, by the way, because his stats are incredible all the way through from the start of his career. And a brilliant save from Neil Etheridge. Froze the frame when Lucas Joao was taking that penalty. He almost looked robotic, Neil Etheridge. The way he had his hands out and his frame just looked like a robot. Yeah. You're never going to score past him.
He has quite a defined set position. You know, it's something, and of course, you jump on a lot of the calls that we do to some of the younger goalkeepers. And we talk a lot about set position. And there are certain goalkeepers. Some have the clap before they set. Shea Given-esque. That was a little bit of me. Some have the Richard Wright, for those that remember that, where they'd swing the arms back. There are the likes of Neil Etheridge. Simon Moore has a similar technique as well, where they have the hands very much in front and clear of them. And in fairness, I think it makes a lot of sense. You know, you're very neutral in your set position. You can get down as quickly as you can get up. And yeah, he looks slightly rigid, but he doesn't play rigid. You know, when Neil Etheridge moves, he's very fluid in his movement, but certainly his set position is very defined.
A couple of other bits to pick up on in the EFL, Richard. Dean Gherkin, it's worth a mention because he was in a keeper caper a couple of weeks ago, wasn't he, for that game against the draw that Colchester had against Mansfield when he let a Nicky Maynard shot slip through his hands. He had a very good clean sheet against Scunthorpe, a succession of saves.
Yeah, it was excellent. You know, and I think, like we like to do, certainly it's always nice to see that when a goalkeeper's maybe had a tough game to bounce back in the way that he has. I mean, look, it's fair to say he's one of the most experienced, if not the most experienced goalkeeper in that division. Fantastic career and great to see him bounce back as well as he has.
And Nick Townsend at Newport. This was another save that went completely unnoticed. To be fair, you had to look really close to spot it. And the reaction of his defenders suggested that he did indeed get a touch, made a great save from an Owen Windsor free kick. Newport were away at Grimsby. We spoke about him last time out. He made a match-winning save in their victory, Newport's victory over Morecambe. He's done exactly the same here. He's tipped, finger-tipped, the free kick onto the crossbar. Newport win the game. They remain top of League Two.
Yeah, brilliant. I'm a big fan of Nick Townsend, and I used to speak to his goalkeeper coach a lot when he was at Barnsley, and I know he was a huge fan of him. And I hate to say this, because this was the same thing that was labelled against me when I played. There was always question marks about his height. So if you see Nick Townsend, he's not the most imposing figure, but for me, technically incredibly sound, so powerful. This save, there's a lot of goalkeepers at 6'6" that don't make this save. Like, I promise you that, because this is arrowing in the top corner. But again, the athleticism, the speed, which is why I have the argument. When you're able to break a goalkeeper's down, my belief is that being between 5'11 and 6'3", 6'4", is fine. You know, even 5'11", 6', you're absolutely okay, providing you have these different attributes. And it's about being effective. And for me, Nick Townsend is showing this season just how effective he is and just how much of an asset that he has been to Newport.
Okay, before we go, Richard, I would very much like your save of the week, please.
Tough one this week. I mean, we just mentioned Nick Townsend there. That was certainly up there. We mentioned the penalty save in the Championship, which both Neil Etheridge and Alex Smithies, both crucial penalty saves in the end. But I'm going to have to give it for Jan Sommer, just purely for the fact that it's very rare as a goalkeeper you get one of these moments. Now, you guys will all have done the drill where you'll save from one top corner and then you'll save in the other top corner and you'll go back and forth. Now, what happens is you make the save, you get up, you're running across the goal, so you've got the momentum, and then you make another fantastic save, get up. It's quite a hard drill to do, but of course, the momentum, the increased spring, the power, some of the saves you make almost feels like you're horizontal with the bar as you're making the save. And I just felt this one, it was one of those moments for Jan Sommer where he's got his positioning spot on, his momentum is slightly to the left, he's utilized that in order to explode up to the left, and it's just one of those beautiful saves where he is horizontal, so high in the goal, plucking out of the top corner. Thing of beauty.
A thing of beauty indeed. Continuing the theme to end the show, Richard, I'm going to opt out this time because we have got the Hereford superstar, the ex-Hereford superstar, Peter Galashi, to see us out. So he's going to see us out and you're going to see us out, okay, this week?
Fantastic. Sounds good to me.
This has been the Goalkeepers Union podcast, Between the Sticks.
Away!